1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Former President Trump has been indicted in connection with what he calls the boxes hoax. He's referring to a federal investigation into his alleged mishandling of sensitive documents found at his Mar-a-Lago resort. CBS's Pat Milton on what happens now.
Sources said that Trump is due to be arraigned in Miami on Tuesday. The U.S. Secret Service will be meeting with Trump's staff and his security team to develop a security plan for his travel and court appearance in Miami, which is expected to be very tight.
Our Ed O'Keefe with reaction.
Vivek Ramaswamy, the 37-year-old business executive who's been catching wind in the early primary states, weighing in a little while ago, saying in part, quote, "We cannot have two tiers of justice, one for Trump on government document retention, another for Biden, one for Assange, another for Manning, one for BLM Antifa, another for peaceful protesters on January 6th. I never thought we would see the day when the U.S. president deputizes the DOJ to arrest his lead rival in the middle of an election."
Where there's smoke, there's fire, and the smoke from Canadian wildfires has blanketed parts of the Northeast. In Philadelphia,
I'm really worried, and I wonder how much longer this is going to last.
My grandma, she's 80 years old. You know what I'm saying? She's coming outside. She got to breathe that stuff in.
My son has asthma, and so does his mother.
Over a dozen states have issued air quality advisories. In Colorado, officials announced the cause of a wildfire in 2021 that destroyed over 1,000 homes and killed two people. Boulder County Sheriff Curtis Johnson says it started when a homeowner was burning yard waste.
The residents of that property were initially unaware of the fire that began. And once they realized there was fire and that it was spreading, they attempted to put it out. But the winds were quickly spreading the flames faster than they could keep up.
Correspondent Michael George reports on how a pregnant woman's exposure to some dangerous chemicals may affect her child.
A woman's exposure to forever chemicals during pregnancy can cause a greater risk of obesity for their child. The findings from Brown University were based on 8 research groups located in different parts of the U.S., as well as with different demographics.
The Supreme Court ruled that a poop-themed dog toy that looks like a Jack Daniels bottle violates trademarks.
Jack Daniels, if you please.
The unanimous decision throws out a lower court's finding that the Bad Spaniels chew toy is not protected by First Amendment rights. The toy has the same shape as the whiskey bottle with a label on the front that reads, "The old number 2 on your Tennessee carpet." This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Wisconsin Rapids' own Cranberry Blossom Festival is back with fun for the whole family. Join us June 15th through the 18th for family fun events including cinema under the stars, live music, arts, crafts, raffles, and contests, a parade Sunday at noon followed by the Firefighters Duck Derby and the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers, carnival rides and attractions all 4 days. Mark your calendar Thursday, June 15th through Sunday, June 18th. You'll be very glad you did. For a complete event schedule, visit www.blossomfest.com or facebook.com/blossomfest.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 43 overnight under clear skies, northerly winds around 5 miles per hour.
high of 80. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 55. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday. Upper 70s, Saturday, upper 60s by Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 8th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we are going to be joined by Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Extension. Looking forward to talking with Janelle. Right now, in studio, we have our good friends from Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. We're going to talk Cranberry Blossom Festival 2023. We're talking with Meredith Kleckler, executive director over at Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. Good morning, Meredith.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
And Nathan Plim. Am I saying all right, Nathan?
That's right.
I thought so. I was trying to remember from last time. Good to see you, Nate. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. 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 Thanks for asking. Nathan is our marketing sales manager over at Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, and appreciate you guys being here. And God, do I love talking Cranberry Blossom Festival. I wish we had the hour. I really do. I love talking to Janelle, but man, I like talking about this. This area has given me and my family so much. And coming back here, one of my goals was finding any ways I could to give back to the community. And I don't have a ton of skill sets, but one of them I could do is do this. And so really promoting these events and attending these events, supporting them in any way we can. I know how much it means to my family and I. And we're not even locals. I can't imagine what it means to locals and to people that have grown up here, spend their lives here. This is a really proud event. It's a fun event. I would like to start, though, by treating it like, let's say there's some new people out there who have not heard of what Cranberry Blossom Festival is. Let us make their day and let's tell them what this event is all about.
Absolutely. So this festival has been going on for 18 years. This is the 18th annual one. And it celebrates our blossoming communities and all the great things that happen in them. So cranberries are an important part of our agricultural history. And so we celebrate the blossom season, but we also use it to celebrate all the great things that happen with the organizations in our community. So Cranberry Blossom Festival is a events that are created and run by local organizations. So they benefit those local organizations. So this is a way to really find out what's going on in your community and give back a little bit just by attending.
Yeah.
So it's 4 days. It goes Thursday through Sunday. And there are great events, music, fun, food, parade, all kinds of things that we can get into more in a little bit. But that's the purpose of it.
Gosh, you're good at this. She's so good. Mary, that was really well. I would have spent an hour trying to do what you just did in a matter of minutes. That was very well done. I do want to talk about those events and get into that. I'm looking forward to it. But I wanted to start with the planning of this event. We talk to our chamber, we talk to Terry at the United Way, and I love getting behind the scenes and knowing how long these events go. And like Lunch by the River is example, they start working on that almost the day after the last one, you know, and like a lot of our events are that way. You have a 4-day event like this. Did you start planning for this 10 years ago? How else do you do this? Like,
Well, fortunately, a lot of the information we use and we build upon each year. But yes, so the wrap up is usually in August or September, and then we start right away by the first of the year, if not before, for the next year.
It's really cool. Let's get into the event. Let's talk about some of the events, and let's kick things off with our good friends at the Grand Rapids Lions Club.
Oh, they are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they're doing it in a really big, fun way.
Yeah.
So the carnival will be out there again this year. It's going to be bigger than it was last year, and last year it was bigger than the year before, so it keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same carnival. It's Spectrum Carnival. They are well-respected.
Mm-hmm.
They do State Fair and some other carnivals around the area, and they're excited to come back. They like they actually seek us out. They like coming to our area, so
nice.
that makes for a good environment when you take your family.
Yeah.
There'll be rides for people of all ages, and of course, lots of fried carnival food and those kinds of items. So the Wisconsin Rapids Lioness are doing the Berry Fest raffle, and that actually has been going on in the community. $5 for a raffle ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You can win up to $500. You don't have to be present to win. But they also do complimentary vision screening on Saturday out at the carnival. And this year, the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association photo booth where you're in the marsh with the waders on will be there. So people can come and take some fun photos.
I love it.
Kids learn to fish. Scott Stankowski runs a great Learn to Fish program, and he's had up to 100 kids there.
Wow.
And everybody gets a chance to learn how to tie knots and do things and really learn to fish. And the Grand Rapids Lions Pond is actually spring-fed. Wow. So it's actually quite easy to catch fish there.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Huh, that's cool.
So this year, Historic Point Bass will be there. So nice. People will be able to see living history of the only historic museum on the Wisconsin River.
Yeah.
And the largest settlement, or the only settlement, too, that's still there as well. Wheeler Chevrolet is going to bring some cool new Chevys for people to look at. And then the big celebration will be Saturday night. The Lions Club is hosting a 50th anniversary concert, and they are bringing in Rich Rath, Project 313.
Nice.
And they play the music of REO Speedwagon. So one of them was actually in a band,
right,
Gary Rich Rath. And so they're excited to come as well.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be exciting.
They've actually been promoting Cranberry Blossom Festival on their social media for a couple months already. So
it's really cool.
We're really excited to have them. There's a local band starting first. Woodmere will take the stage at 6.
Another good band.
And then Project Rich Rath, Project 313 will be on.
With so much going on, like, we just started. We just got into this. You know, we're not even into, like, the second or third day really yet. There's so much there. I do want people to know that you can keep up with all this stuff, and there are great flyers available. The website is fantastic. Go to visit wisrapids.com, visit wisrapids.com, and you can find out and keep up with all these things. And we want you to attend all this stuff, or as much as you certainly can. I just want to rewind for a quick second. Some of the things that, I don't know if they're new, but are newer. The teaching kids to fish thing is such a great little added thing to this. A lot of us get taught by our dad or a papa or somebody like that, or our moms or anybody about fishing, but it never hurts to have another set of eyes, somebody else kind of teaching you stuff and showing you things. You never know what you can learn. And especially when you get kids young, not only do you get them learning how to do the sport right, but hopefully continuing to do the sport. And that's certainly very important in this state when it comes to our rec industry and all that. Just wanted to mention Historic Point Bass because I love those guys. I have no question, nothing to say other than I love those guys over there. And I love that they're a part of this. They do such great work in this for our area, for Central Wisconsin, and keeping history alive. That's cool. And they belong as a part of this event. That makes sense to hear them with this. That's
they really do. We're very excited.
That's cool.
They haven't been with us for a while, but they're able to come back. And so we're really, really happy to have them.
And just a happy 50th anniversary to the Grand Rapids Lions Club. This area is so better and so much stronger because of the work that they do and the different things that they've been a part of. You see their name on all kinds of events, them sponsoring different things. And I'm a big, big proponent of not just us supporting local, but supporting other industries that support local, that put back into this community. I like to spend my money with people like that. And they're one of the bigger ones right at the top of the list that do that. Let's take a look at the Berry Fest. You touched on that. The Richard Project, that's going to be exciting. The REO Speedwagon. So there is so much going on. What haven't we touched on yet? Where do you want to go next with this?
So the carnival will be 4 days this year.
Thank you. I wanted to mention that. I wanted to ask if the carnival was all
carnival. Yep. It's 4 days. It starts at 4 o'clock on Thursday. And people can pre-buy unlimited wristband cards, and they're redeemable at the carnival for a wristband for a four hour time period, unlimited rides. It's a good value. It's $20 if you do it before or online, and it's $25 if you do it at the carnival. So those are available in our office. Those cards are also available at Grand Rapids Lions events, or they're online at spectrumcarnival.com and then /buy online.
Nathan, Meredith mentioned that a couple of different people reached out to you guys to be a part of this event. When it comes to marketing and sales, do you just sit there and answer the phone, man? Did the people just call you? No, I'm joking. But how have you been interacting with this, and how has that been beneficial when you're one of the things you are marketing is something that is so well received and liked?
Right. Well, one of the most interesting things is that this is my first Cranberry Blossom Festival, first time being in the area during this event. And so it's been very interesting, not only learning what it takes to run the festival, but also doing it at the same time and getting it done. So no, it's not just answering the phone, but there is a bit of that. A lot of my day is spent talking with different media sponsors, working with the organizations to make sure that we promote their event in the right way. Some of these groups really want to have their full name or the really specific parts of the description of their events. And so the fine tuning is what I think I excel at. And so things like that is what I've contributed to Cranberry Blossom Festival.
How have you, because there's obviously, especially any, all of us have been on a job in the first day and learning and having to learn in the fly in real time. But have you been able to enjoy the process too?
Absolutely. I think we've said before when we're here talking about economic impact of tourism, that's one of the best things about our industry, is that every day is different. And I'm very fortunate to be someone relatively new, fresh out of college, and to be gaining so much experience at such a young age. And Cranberry Blossom Festival is another example of that. This is the first time I'm working with TV, radio, and other media sponsors. And I've learned lot in the past 3 weeks as we've kind of secured those. But I'm working with all the different organizations as well to kind of make sure we're representing them the right way. And it's been a really, really awesome experience. I can't wait to see the festival for itself.
I think many have seen the reports coming out of Wisconsin Public Radio and some other news outlets recently about the how Wisconsin has done consumer or tourism-wise, and that we've seen some rise in that, and that we're back to pre-pandemic numbers and those things. That benefits the whole state, including us, of course. And I think with an event like this, you see a tie-in to that, where we've got it's not unfamiliar for us with this event to see out-of-towners, to see people from out of town coming in, very similar to the Water Ski Show Tournament or something like that. We're used to that around here, but not everybody is. And I just give a big tip of the hat to this community, not only hosting so well for decades, but for being such a place that people want to come to. People want to live here. They want to move here. They want to come and check these things out, these events that we have. Not even just the biggest of events like Cranberry Blossom Festival, but other events that may not seem like the biggest, but they are to this state. They are to this area. And we're a part of that. When you see those numbers, when you see that reporting being done, you can take some pride in that. This community can take some pride in those numbers. We're a reason why those numbers are going up.
Absolutely. Being welcoming is the thing that people remember the most. So for sure, all the industries, the hospitality industries, but just the people in this community are what make it what it is. And we are grateful for that.
And I just remind our community to be yourself. Be yourself out there when you're welcoming people from out of town. Even people that are just a town over, that kind of thing. It's important. It goes a long way. And we are welcoming so many people to this area for this event. So that's something else to keep in mind. With people comes vehicles. I want to talk a little parking real quick. I know that we had some notes on that. I just want to let people know remind them about parking.
So out at the Grand Rapids Lions Club, admission is free to all of the events, but parking is $5, and that benefits the Boy Scouts. For the concert, the parking will, so Saturday night, parking will go from $5 to $10 after 5 p.m. But that fee includes the concert.
Yeah.
So it's pretty affordable to get a rock and roll concert for...
as I don't know about you two, but as somebody who has gone to many concerts and had to pay for parking, that's a really good deal. That's an incredible deal. I'm almost worried about you guys. Like, you know, you can go high. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. What I do want to touch on, though, and this gives me the perfect segue for it, is that $5 right to the Boys and Boy Scouts, right to there.
They help run the parking and also benefit from it.
And what you touched on early on into this, Meredith, this event is so much fun. And we love giving our community and people joining us in our community something fun to do, a chance to really embrace summer. To me, it's the kickoff of summer is Cranberry Blossom Fest. I don't care what the weather says. That's summer to me, is when the Cranberry Blossom Fest hits. We know how great it is. All those things are wonderful, but truly, I think maybe the best part of this is what we're able to do for places like the Boy Scouts organizations like that. This is a fundraiser in many ways for mm-hmm. helping not only you guys at the Bureau continue to do great work that you do, but many others. Can we touch on that a little bit of the different people we're able to help with this event?
Oh, absolutely. So the Grand Rapids Lions, yes. The Boy Scouts, the Wisconsin Rapids Lioness, mm-hmm. The Heart of Wisconsin Chamber does some great events.
Yeah.
And Nathan can touch on those in a little bit. We also have, so Historic Point Bass will be there. The Material Girls Quilt Club, which it's unique and it's very fun. And if you haven't seen the quilted car, you should go check it out.
Yeah.
They do some unique fun things as well. The Wisconsin Firefighters Charitable Organization does the Duck Derby.
That's right.
So they dump the ducks off the Jackson Street Bridge. And they race down the river and they pick them up after the River View Expressway. So, and that benefits their programs. We have two great fishing, you mentioned that earlier, but two mm-hmm. great fishing events. One is out at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. The other one is downtown on the river. The Wisconsin Rapids Police Department does a kids fishing. They call it a contest, but it's more of a fun event mm-hmm. where everybody comes away with something. And that's a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
So, and then Cinema Under the Stars mm-hmm. is run by the Sunrise Rotary Club. The Central Wisconsin Cultural Center does every year they choose the art that's used in the brochures and the posters mm-hmm. and everything for the following year. So they have a great exhibit this year called Celebrate Red and some concerts. Who am I forgetting? Am I forgetting anybody?
I thought I might touch on the Chamber of Commerce events. So like we said, there's Lunch by the River happening on Thursday, and mm-hmm. that's going to be, you know, Lunch by the River again. Yeah. It's going to be some great food, some awesome live music, and it's going to be, we're hoping for some nice weather along the river there. So
Looking like it so far.
Good. Keep your fingers crossed. For
yes,
us,
yes.
also at the Cultural Center, with the Celebrate Red art exhibit, they also have Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor coming in for some music in the afternoon.
Shout out to Pete. Yeah. Love Pete. Love Pete.
Right. Also on Friday, we have Downtown on Tap. It's the 6th annual Downtown on Tap with live music, food, all along the Wisconsin River. We do want to make a special note that any alcohol brought to Veterans Memorial Park for Downtown on Tap must be sealed. But don't worry, the downtown establishments have seal stickers. So we're all set there. Also, we have the Arts, Crafts, and Cranberries Fair happening on Saturday, June 17th, again, hosted by the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, and there really is something for everybody there.
Yeah.
Wood, art, jewelry, home decor, cranberry products, a lot of different things. And then we finish off the Cranberry Blossom Festival with the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers Water Ski Show. Mm-hmm. Can't forget about that at Red Sands Beach, Lake Wazicha. The Aqua Skiers always do a great job.
They're
and
amazing.
I'm really excited to start watching them.
They come up with new stuff every year, and I don't know how they do it, but they seem to push the odds even more every time with some of the stuff they're doing out there on that water.
It's a Broadway show on skis, plus all the trick skiing. It's amazing.
God, you're good at this. Oh, that's a perfect way to put it, Meredith. Oh, I've been watching that thing for decades, and I never thought of that. Oh, that's such a perfect way to put it. Nicely done. Oh, that's really good. Yeah, I'm writing that down. Like, that's really good.
I forgot to mention, and I apologize, but Friday, June 16th, right, starting bright and early at 6 a.m., we're going to have the Dairy Berry Breakfast.
Yes.
So we're really excited to see that. All kind of local food, some great company, and it's going to be at Lincoln High School cafeteria there. So local products.
We have great people, great vendors that are always a part of that, great food. And it's I've only gotten to attend a couple of them, but when I first got back here at WFHR, Bob and I did a remote from there once. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my favorite remotes I've ever been a part of. It was such a cool atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been back to Lincoln since graduating. And I was all kind of looking around and everything, and I sit down, and it took me a minute, but there was such, it felt like the whole community was there. It felt like at least a representative or a person from every street, let alone every business, was there. It was so well attended, and so just the vibe, the laughter, everything that was going on. I can't encourage people enough to attend that event.
Well, and check out because Lincoln has been renovated, so you get to see the new area. So the chamber does a great job and brings in all kinds of guest people to serve the food and lots of great things. And Cranberry Gang might.
Yeah, here's hoping. Here's hoping. Because let's not forget, while all this stuff we're talking about is great and everything, this is also a celebration of cranberries. And we want to celebrate cranberries. We love our cranberries in this area. And the cranberry breakfast is one of those perfect ways to do that. You get it in right away. Get your cranberry fix in right away. It's a fun event. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you guys want to yet? We got a couple minutes left here.
Just this wouldn't be possible without the amazing event coordinators and their creativity and generous sponsors. So you know, the sponsors, the Cranberry Farms, lots of agriculture farms support this event. Enbridge, Ho-Chunk Gaming, Nakusa have been very supportive. And the Cranberry Blossom Festival is run by a volunteer board. Our organization, the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, does the marketing and promoting for them, but it's actually run by a volunteer board. So all the great work of lots of dedicated people.
That's one of the last notes I have here is volunteers. We appreciate them so greatly. Thank you to all of them. Are we looking for other volunteers or we're looking for more volunteers?
Always happy to take volunteers. Okay. The Grand Rapids Lions Club, I think, would welcome them. And the Cranberry Blossom Festival committee or board, and we're happy to put anybody interested in volunteering in touch with those people.
If people are interested in volunteering, is there somewhere we can send them? Should we send them to the website, give you guys a call?
Well, we do have a website. Probably I would recommend that they contact our office. Mm-hmm. So 715-422-4650, or they can drop in during the week in our office down in the historic Ham building on 2nd Street. And we will get them in touch with the events that they're most interested in, so mm-hmm. we can connect them to where they want to work.
And as Nathan was talking about, there's other great events coming up. Of course, today, got Lunch by the River going on, and plenty of other great events coming up as well with our good friends over at the Chamber and other events at other businesses and nonprofits that you guys work with. Is there anything you want to touch on, just tease or let everybody out there know that they're coming up? Anything else other than what we've already covered?
So actually today, Bluegrass at the Lake Music Festival is starting, and it's run throughout the weekend. I encourage people to tune in tomorrow because they will be making an appearance here as well. So you'll hear more about
they
that
will. We're very excited about that.
Yeah.
We've been, we've been able to talk about this event a little bit more and more. I appreciate you bringing that up, actually, Nathan, because I was going to do this off air, but I'll just do it on air. I appreciate you guys giving that space to them. The Bureau had that spot, and you guys could use it for whatever you'd like. Again, the great work that you're doing over there, this speaks to that. I don't think the audience would know unless we tell them, you know? I really appreciate you guys give your time to these events, that you're helping promote them as much as you are, especially with everything the Saylor family has done, and turning this into this is just incredible to me. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, and I appreciate being able to talk about it and that you guys do that.
Thank you.
Let's tell people one more time, go through the happenings and what's going on with Cranberry Blossom Festival to wrap things up. Let's wrap it up like we started it, Meredith. Let's go over the list of events and tell people what to look forward to here.
So it starts Thursday, June 15th, with Lunch by the River, and some of the awesome things at Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, Pete Ravel, and of course Cinema Under the Stars is Thursday evening. Friday morning starts at 6 a.m. with the Dairy Berry Breakfast, and then continues throughout the day with the carnival. Again, is all 4 days. The Material Girls Quilt Club starts on Friday. Historic Point Bass will be on Friday. Oh, nope, not on Friday. They will be on Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. But we will also have Friday night gets capped off by Downtown on Tap. That's hosted by Current. Saturday, the Arts, Crafts, and Cranberries Fair, the Carnival, Historic Point Bass, Wheelers, Material Girls Quilt Club. You're going to jump in when I mess up, right?
The Kids Learn to Fish event is also on Saturday.
Yep, Kids Learn to Fish. And that amazing Rich Rath Project 313, mm-hmm. playing the music of REO Speedwagon. So people can come rock out. That'll be a lot of fun. And then Sunday, there's the parade, the carnival, the Wisconsin Rapids Police Fishing Contest, the Duck Derby, and
Historic Point Bass will also be there on Sunday. And we'll finish up with the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers Water Ski Show. Going on throughout the whole Cranberry Blossom Festival is also the Berry Fest raffle. And so that drawing will actually happen after the parade. Around
1:00. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
very
more,
cool.
More is available on blossomfest.com or on the Cranberry Blossom Festival Facebook page.
Meredith has some notes in front of her, but she did all of that like at the top of her head. That was amazing, Meredith. That was awesome. That was really cool. I just want to add up the carnival as well. The carnival going on for 4 days. And I don't know if we got to mention the unlimited ride wristband cards that are available. That's pretty cool. That is really unique. Is that something that if you leave and come back, you'll be able to still use? Or
you have to pick a 4-hour time frame, and the carnival identifies those times. But you can pick any one of the, I think there's 6 4-hour time frames. And you get a wristband. I think they're color-coded. And so you get 4 hours of an unlimited ride. So you could leave and come back, but if you want to really ride the rides,
you might
want to stay in.
Yeah, and there's that carnival food that'll keep you there, too. So that'll always keep you there. Exactly. That's going to be fun. And just one more time, wanted to mention the parking situation for everybody. Go over that so they have a heads up about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, parking is $5.
Yeah, so. And that $5 benefits the Boy Scouts. So, like everything else about this event, whatever penny, dollar, money you are spending, you can know that it is going into a local business or a local nonprofit, helping our community, strengthening our community while we have a great time while we're at it. Mm-hmm. People have follow-up questions, want to know more about this event, or they want to just be a part of it, or maybe next year's or anything like that. Nathan, what is the best way to get a hold of you?
To get a hold of Meredith and myself, Cranberry Blossom Festival thing would be to call our office. Again, Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau office phone is 715-422-4650. We're also reachable, or you can find out more on our website, and that's www.visitwisrapids.com. That's probably the best way to start.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you both so much, not only for putting up with me for 20-some minutes, but everything you do in this community. We greatly appreciate you guys. Keep up the great work. Let us know anything that's going on that we can help promote and spread the word about, okay?
Thank you so much, and thank you for doing such an amazing job connecting our community.
We appreciate you. We'll talk soon. We'll have more Midday Magazine. I'll get this right. More Midday Magazine coming up for you in just a few right here at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 43 overnight under clear skies, northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. High of 80 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 55. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday. Upper 70s, Saturday, upper 60s by Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine. Your host, James J. here. Thanks for joining us. We're joined right now by one of our favorite people to talk to, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension, Marathon County and Wood Counties. We're going to talk a little bit about caring for your plants in dry conditions today. Janelle, how you doing?
You know, not bad, not bad. I got a lot of phone calls coming into the Extension office these days, tons and tons of phone calls. And a lot of them have been centered on the topic that we're going to talk about today. So I thought, you know, when I came, when I saw that it was my time to come visit you, I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to talk about.
One of the when I'm telling people about Midday Magazine and I'm selling it to them or I'm encouraging them to check it out, one of my favorite things to tell them is all the stuff that I've learned with the Extension team. Rachel it learned me something, you know, about quite a bit about things. I've learned a lot from Matt and Jackie and all of you guys. All of them are amazing. I don't think I've learned more from anybody than you, Janelle. Like the things that I've been able to incorporate into my day to day, I'm not even a gardener. I don't really do a ton of outdoor stuff really necessarily, but I've been able to incorporate so many things. And the stuff that my parents have been able to do has been great, too. My dad has really enjoyed these interviews. My mom is a big plant person, so I know she's going to be glued to every second of this today. I just wanted to thank you for all that. I don't think you could know how many people you help with this information, and that's pretty cool.
You know, one of the things I really love about gardening is how it crosses age groups. It crosses cultures, you know, there's something innate in human beings to, even if you don't want to actively participate in the act of nurturing a plant and having it grow, just being around plants makes us feel better. And, you know, if there's anything I can do to encourage people to, I'd love to encourage people to experiment with gardening. But if at the very least, just taking a moment and appreciating the beauty and the nature around us, really taking the time to identifying, you know, particularly what's blooming right now or what's going on with the insect world. It really helps us, I think, in more ways than just, you know, the, oh, I'm going to get tomatoes.
yeah. I love that voice. You need to bring that in more often. I actually have a perfect segue into this because the things I was talking about there, I have been thinking about. I've never had a plant. I've never had my own plant. I've helped my mom take care of hers, but, you know, it's something I want to do. But again, I've never taken care of a plant before. So, you know, I wanted to do something that I wouldn't kill the plant. I wanted something that was strong. And I like succulents a lot. So I kind of went to one of our local nurseries here, Reeves, to check out the succulents. But I came across this guy, a woolly thyme.
Oh,
and I don't know how much, Janelle, you've seen my hair down or anything, but I saw a kin. I saw kin in this plant. I'm like, oh, this is me as a plant. This is wonderful. And then I read up on them a little bit, and they're pretty strong. They're pretty durable. They don't need a ton of sunlight. Certainly, some, but it seemed like the perfect plant for me. And I didn't realize that I could have so much love for a plant. I've had this thing for like 2 weeks, and I'm checking it every hour practically. You would think it was a kid. Like I'm asking if it needs a snack, if it's wants nap time. Do you like the cartoons on the TV? I love this plant. I thank you. I thank you, the team at Extension, but especially you, really got me into the idea of this, and I'm really enjoying it. This little guy is an actual friend to me now. I talk to him. It's a lot of fun.
You know, one of the things that I really appreciated about gardening is it's a hobby that you will never fully master. Mm. I work with PhDs, and but they are experts in a very specific topic, insect diseases, you know, soils, things like that. Mm-hmm. You'll never know everything there is to know about gardening. And that, I think, makes it exciting. And the variables are constantly changing.
Yeah.
You know? So I absolutely adore gardening in that it really has ways to teach us. There's so many metaphors for life in gardening.
Yes.
And there's a lot to just keep us connected and maybe even get us closer to our own humanity.
Agreed.
I might be waxing philosophical here.
Ooh,
but
I'm with you on all that. I'm with you on all of that. And I guarantee that other gardeners out there are nodding their head. Like, yeah, agreeing with every bit of that. One of the things that I liked about the woolly thyme was that I worry about overwatering plants or something, you know, along those lines. And that they were telling me, and Reeves are great, and One Rose, all of our local teams out here are great. They were telling me that, well, you don't have to, you can just check the soil and see, and it doesn't need a ton of water. So I see my guy, and he's a little like kind of down, doesn't the blend, the, you know, the leaves, everything going kind of downward and stuff. I put him under the sink, and then I put him back. And I come by like maybe 5-10 minutes later or whatever. Yeah, he's all jumped up. He's all out and open and everything. And I really appreciate that it's, for me, easy to tell, hey, he needs water. He's not lively like he usually is and all this. And that little bit there helps me. But I imagine that when it comes to keeping our plants healthy and worrying about dryness, there's a lot more to it. So there's a lot of details to this. I want to move out of the way, let you kind of talk about this.
So getting back to, you know, the reason why I thought about talking about this topic in particular is, you know, it is very dry, very, very dry. It's been long time since we've seen rain. Some of us, depending on where you are in the county, might have seen some rain. What was that, Tuesday morning? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a lot, and it was only that one little spell. So things are pretty dry out there, and I'm getting lots and lots of phone calls with people being really concerned, people thinking that they're noticing plant stress from the dryness, and they're not quite sure what's going on. You know, they're thinking of potentially disease issues. Or they're seeing secondary diseases, thinking that's the cause of some of the problems that are happening. When really, right now, at least the majority of the phone calls I'm getting are really due to that dryness. So,
is that, I'm sorry to interrupt, is that dryness, is that normal for this time of year?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not, and it's going across the state. Actually, I go on a phone call with county-based educators across the entire state once a week, and we've been all talking about, you know, it's not just here that the lawns are starting to go dormant. Lawns are going dormant all the way up in Iron County and all the way down in Rock County. So all stretches
literally,
of the state.
Yeah.
There's some places that aren't quite so bad, but and some places are much, much worse. So, and it doesn't look like, you know, we're going to have a break anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be good to prepare people. I want to start off by talking about those trees and shrubs, the woody ornamentals.
Mm-hmm.
With them, I've gotten a lot of phone calls, both in particular with maple trees having some anthracnose on them. That's going to be some like brown and black spotting on the leaves. That was due to perfect conditions this spring.
Mm.
If you've got some anthracnose on your trees, I would say for the most part, don't worry about that.
Mm.
But what also is happening is trees are dropping their leaves. And so people are seeing this black spotting on their leaves and thinking that that's the reason why the trees are dropping their leaves.
Yeah.
That's not actually the case. The anthracnose probably isn't helping things, but it's not the source for why the trees are dropping their leaves.
Interesting.
If you've got trees that are dropping their leaves, I really would strongly recommend giving them a long drink of water at least once a week. And you're going to be doing that. You wanted to soak down at least an inch all along the drip line. And the drip line is going to be that space. Imagine if you could draw a straight line from the branches down to the ground. Mm. You want that entire area to be saturated about an inch deep when you give it that long drink of water. Mm. Slow, you just take the hose out to the tree and then put the water on a slow drip and let it go for a while.
Mm. Okay.
A couple other things that you want to keep in mind. Mulch is your friend and weeds aren't. Yeah. So the reason why weeds are going to be really problematic around our shrubs and our trees is weeds are competing for that moisture in the soil, mm-hmm. right? And especially if we're dry right now, we don't want those weeds to take any of that excess moisture. Adding a nice 3 or 4 inch layer of mulch around your trees, that's going to help suppress those weeds. It's going to help increase that soil moisture. And it also, depending on what you're using, it could also reduce the temperature in the soil right around the tree.
Wow.
Secondary to that, if the temperature's a little bit cooler, you're going to have a little bit less soil moisture evaporation. Hmm. So mulch, mulch, mulch.
Yeah. You wouldn't know this, but Janelle, I am a gigantic donut fan. I love donuts, and I've never heard of a mulch donut. This sounds amazing. Can you tell me about that?
It's not going to be as tasty as you think.
I got my hopes up. I should have read a little more about it.
So when you are mulching your trees really strongly, and your shrubs too, anything that's woody, you want to make sure that you're keeping the mulch a good maybe 6 inches away from the stem or the base of the tree, okay?
Okay.
What we don't like to see is what we call mulch volcanoes. When you're taking the mulch and you've got it stacked all the way up against the base of the tree, you want to do, instead of that volcano look, go with the donut look. You want to have it the mulch around the tree, but you want to pull it away from the base of the tree. You end up with a donut shape.
Yeah, yeah. And we all know donuts are way better than volcanoes anyway. Way better.
Way better.
Way better. Way better. What about fertilizer?
Now's not a good time to fertilize.
Not a good time.
No. So fertilizer, you know, chemically speaking, it's they call it a salt. So a chemical term would be a salt. And just like table salt, if you add some fertilizer right now, you're going to be pulling excess moisture. Right now, we're trying to do everything we can to reduce that stress on the trees and try to give them as much moisture as possible.
I know how eager people are to get outdoors and do activities and do things. And I think sometimes we end up, those trees, those plants, I can trim them now. I can do a little of that. Is this a good time to be pruning or transplanting plants?
Pruning wouldn't be unless you've got you've got some sort of special condition. Mm. Pruning is not good right now for lots of different reasons. Number one, we generally recommend people to prune any of their woodies in around March, late winter. And that's because of disease and insect problems, okay? The other reason right now would be a horrible time, though, is because for the plant to recover, it's going to use some moisture. And again, right now we're trying to do everything we can to reduce the stress on the plant. We don't want to do anything that's going to cause it to require it to use some of its moisture. Transplanting, man, you know, so plants don't have feet. They're not used to moving from one spot to another. Just like humans, change is tough on plants. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, if you're transplanting a plant, there's going to be a thing called transplant shock. Even on the most beautiful, cool, cloudy days, the plant's still going to have to overcome some transplant shock. Mm. Now, these conditions, with it being incredibly warm and dry, you're just going to make it a very, very stressful time. I would hold off. If you've got some plants in nursery buckets, I'd hold off a little bit before I would consider transplanting them. Right now, this is like basically the same as transplanting in the middle of summer.
Yeah. How about flowering annuals and veggies? We know a lot of people are excited about having those this summer and everything. What about taking care of them?
With your vegetable gardens, again, and even your annual beds, really goes back to utilizing that mulch. You know, you want to get rid of any weeds in the area that are going to be competing for that moisture. Straw makes a really nice mulch in your annual and your vegetable bed. So that's what I would look towards for mulch. You could put that in pretty thick, you know, about 3 inches or so. Mm-hmm. And then when we're thinking about our containers, if you've got vegetables or annuals in containers, you're probably watering them at least once a day, depending on the size of the container, maybe even twice a day. Raised beds are going to need watering at least once a day. However, if you've got a raised bed that's a little bit on the shallow side, say about 6 inches deep, you're gonna need to be watering that maybe even as much as twice per day.
Good to know. Time periods to water, is there a good, better time than others?
You know, I recommend in the morning. And that would be even if we weren't in droughty conditions. I'd recommend inside the morning just because any time that you water a plant. Oh, and let me go back to this too. You also want to, whenever possible, water the roots, not the leaves. Mm. Now, I know this seems counterintuitive because what Mother Nature does, she just dumps the rain from the sky and the leaves and everything get good and wet. Mm. The difference is we have a real particular goal in mind. We're either trying to grow flowers or we're trying to grow some sort of vegetable, right? And we are placing value on the yield, you know, whether it's just the flowers or whatever.
Yeah.
Mother Nature, on the other hand, she doesn't care about whether or not you get tomatoes, right? Mm-hmm. She values fungus and fungal diseases just as much as she values your pretty tomatoes. So we're going to do things a little bit different than Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. If we were to get the leaves all good and wet, we're increasing the chances for fungal diseases. And then, you know, chances are with diseases, especially fungal diseases, fungicides are not really going to help you out once you've got that disease. So the best bet's going to be doing everything you can to avoid getting the diseases. And that starts with watering the roots and not the leaves. So when we're watering, we want to make sure, like you had asked, watering inside the morning time, that also kind of gets to the same idea. We want to avoid the leaves being wet as long as possible. So if you do end up splashing a little bit, if the plant has the entire day to dry out, it's not going to be so bad as if you water in the evening when those cooler temperatures come along. It's not going to dry out as fast as it would have if you would have watered in the morning.
That makes a lot of sense. How about herbaceous perennials, and how badly did I say that word? You can be honest. How badly did I murder it? I'm doing it on purpose. You know, just jumping in at everything.
I appreciate that,
but
I really appreciate that, and I like that pronunciation. Although the way that I would have pronounced it would have been herbaceous.
The correct way, yeah. It makes a lot more sense. We'll go with your way. I like it. I had to Italian it up as the day goes on. I do love talking perennials. One of the coolest things that I learned from you is what a perennial is. I genuinely did not know that this was even a thing before you and I started talking. My mom has been really good about educating me about plants, but she's also been educating me about a lot of other things in my life. You know, some stuff got left by the wayside a little bit. Perennials and the idea of this is just so amazing to me. And I understand how normal it is for most people out there and everything, but the idea of something being dormant and coming back, like all this is just really interesting to me about perennials. So getting into this a little bit, what are keeping our perennials from getting overly dry or anything? What are some of the tips we can give people for this?
So again, mulch is your friend. Mm-hmm. Definitely would recommend making sure those perennial beds are nicely mulched. So with perennial beds, you could use, you know, like chipped wood. Chipped wood works really nicely. I don't recommend chipped wood in a vegetable garden. And that's because as the chipped wood degrades over time, it's going to pull out some of that nitrogen out of your vegetable garden. It does it in the perennial garden too. But in the vegetable garden, the problem is just going to be a little bit too much. In a perennial beds, in fact, at home in my perennial beds, I use wood a lot in pretty much completely. Although there's other things you could use. You could use compost. You could use leaf mold. You could use straw. You know, all those other options are great too. Along with making sure you've got that mulch in there, and that's going to help, again, reduce the soil evaporation, you may want to consider investing in soaker hoses. Mm. So these are hoses that have a lot of holes inside of them. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they will pour water out at a very low pressure, you're just going to let them sit for like maybe an hour at a time and let the water slowly drain in next to your plants. You put them a couple inches away from the crowns of your plants and you just kind of snake it along in your perennial bed. Mm. I really like them. They make it a little bit easier and make it better for you to make sure that you're getting the ground truly saturated at an inch.
They really do the job that you're needing them to do.
Yep.
That's it's a very helpful tip. I do appreciate that. Janelle, I wanted to put our focus, if you don't mind, into lawns now and how to deal with the dry lawn.
You know, I'm getting a lot of questions regarding the lawns going dormant. And so I'm glad that you asked about this. Not a bad idea to let your lawn go dormant once it starts to get dry like this. In fact, we recommend doing that until we hit about an 8-week mark. Once we get to 8 weeks, now you're going to have lasting damage to your lawns. So we've got a little bit of time yet before you do need to start irrigating your lawn. Otherwise, like I said, you're going to have permanent damage. And when it comes to irrigating your lawn, if we, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, we don't need to, but if it does come to that point, then you're going to want to water your lawn about once a week, and you want to give it about an, you want the soil to be saturated about an inch deep. And just like with everything else, water early in the morning, because that's going to help you help reduce any disease issues. I did have a phone call this week, and there was a gentleman that noticed about 10 days prior to when he called, he said that the lawn was starting to go dormant. Mm-hmm. And so he went ahead, he's got a sprinkler system, and he went ahead and turned on the sprinkler system. And it had been on for about 10 days, and he was still seeing some, it didn't seem like the lawn was recovering. And after 10 days, it should recover. Yeah. There was a big section of the lawn that wasn't, while the rest of it was. Mm. And that led me doing a little bit of digging. And I found cinch bugs can actually become a problem when the conditions are dry like this. And so, and they will appear to be just like the lawn is going dormant, except for when the rains return, the browning is still there. We've got a really nice fact sheet that I'll show you, explain to you how to diagnose whether or not is this cinch bugs. Really, it comes down to you're going to take a coffee can, you're going to take the ends off of both ends of the coffee can, you're going to go in the transition zone, bury that coffee can down a little bit of the way, and then fill it up with water. If there's cinch bugs in there, they're going to float. You're going to do that a couple of times to see if, you know, there are cinch bugs, but that's an easy way to diagnose whether or not that's the problem. And then if that is the problem, we've got control methods available on that on that fact sheet. So it's just something to, for people to kind of keep an eye out for.
I imagine that is one of the more helpful things you have discussed today. I know there are people like my father out there that their lawn is their world. You know, I wonder some days if he loves that lawn more than me. He really cares about that lawn. And it can be so frustrating with those dry spots. You feel like you're doing everything right. I'm watering it. What else could it be? I honestly, and I, growing up with my father, I know quite a bit about lawns and everything. I feel like I do because I have not heard about cinch bugs very often, especially in this circumstance. I think that's really helpful.
Huh. You know, they're going to become a problem when it becomes very, very dry and very, very warm. So just haven't gotten a confirmation yet if that was that gentleman's issue, but it potentially could be and it kind of at least got on my radar as far as, you know, something else for us to be thinking about.
Fertilizer always comes up in our conversations, and we've talked about it quite a bit in other way, in many different ways. But what about fertilizing long grasses right now?
I would stay away from it. It's going to end up drying out your lawn. Also, you really run into a chance of burning the roots of your grass, of your lawn. So I would stay away from the fertilizer. You know, you could, depending on how much maintenance you put into your into your lawn, you could potentially do a fertilizer application around the 4th of July if it happens to be that the rains have come back at that point. If it's still dry, then don't fertilize. The most important time to fertilize your lawn is going to be in September. That's if you're going to fertilize it all and you only want to do it once, it's that September fertilization that's important.
And I think that last part you said there, too, if you're going to do it at all. I think a lot there's a lot of people still out there that feel like you have to do these things, that this is just lawn maintenance 101 or something, and that's just not the case.
I think it depends on what your expectations are out of your lawn. So I typically don't use fertilizers in my lawn. Mm-hmm. I also have a lot of clover, which actually the clover benefits my lawn by fixing nitrogen. So it's given them a little bit of a natural fertilizer. I also have a pretty sparse, I don't have a monoculture. I definitely have some grass growing, but I also have plantain, clover. Mm. I've got some dandelions. I have a beautiful crop of creeping Jenny, or not creeping Jenny, but creeping Charlie. Mm. So my main issue is just to have something green to keep the dog from bringing in dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not as concerned about whether or not it's a monoculture, but